Hey, y'all, Locked On Badgers here. Somber news on today's show. We're going to get into the untimely and just really sad passing of former Wisconsin running backs coach Gary Brown. Some more topics coming up as well, but that's definitely the big one. And like I said, somber show, but something that we do want to kind of touch on.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, welcome to Locked On Badgers. Thanks as always for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day for all the latest Wisconsin Badgers basketball, football, sports knowledge, and information. It is available and free wherever you get podcasts. Also available on YouTube. Thank you everyone for streaming. And yeah, let's just get into it. Unfortunately, news have been out there for a while that the Badgers running backs coach Gary Brown, who coached for the team last year, you know, had some health issues, was going through some things, and news broke yesterday or a couple days ago that, you know, he had lost his battle, that he passed away. Just really sad. You know, it just stinks. It stinks when anybody who, you know, he's 52 years old, he has three kids and a wife, and it's just, yeah, it's just tragic, man, to hear that and to see that news come across, especially from a guy who, when you saw him on the sideline last year, he was so energetic, you know, they was so full of life. And even on Twitter, when he first got to Wisconsin, like his Twitter posts, if people can remember, were incredible. Like, just so fun and charismatic, you know, and the people that knew him, that he coached, that coached with him, from the Cowboys to his time at with Penn State to his time at Wisconsin, you know, the tributes have really been pouring in on Twitter. I think that's a reflection probably of the type of person he was and the esteem people held him in. You know, Braylon Allen put something out there, Colin Wilder, Grover Bortolotti put something out there. Marcus Allen, you know, so not just in his running back grouping, obviously with Colin Wilder as well. Marcus Allen put something out there. And a lot of former players chimed in. You know, guys like DeMarco Murray, who he coached while he's with the Dallas Cowboys, you know, really put some moving words up there in terms of the type of person he was outside of football. Like, you don't get comments like this from so many people. I mean, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, with whom, you know, the Cowboys employed Gary Brown for quite a long time, you know, made a really touching statement just about, you know, the kids and his family and the type of person Gary Brown was. And you don't get those types of comments if you're just a coach, but you're not a good guy, right? And those are two separate things, but it seems like not only was he a really good coach, which you don't coach for the Cowboys and get to coach at Wisconsin if you're a bad coach, but apparently he was a better guy. And that's really confirmed by Mickey Turner, Paul Christ, Jerry Jones, Braylon Allen, Colin Wilder, all of these guys that had something to say about Gary Brown and the type of person he was. And again, 52 years old. And this is a guy who had health issues previously. He had cancer twice in his life and he beat it both times. And he had a great quote regarding cancer, and he said something along the lines of, you know, when you get that, you can either go in a corner and kind of give up or you can fight. And my parents didn't raise me to not be a fighter, right? And that, I think that was the type of mentality he had. And I don't know what happened at the end, and frankly it's none of my business anyway, and it shouldn't be, but we do know that, you know, he had some issues come up recently, and apparently it was just a little too much. Just really sad. Like I said, definitely bad news. We knew he was going through some issues, and obviously Al Johnson came in as a new running backs coach, so we knew the issues were enough to kind of move Gary Brown into an area where he just had to focus on his health. And then even knowing that, I was caught off guard by seeing the news break on Twitter. It's really young, man. Really, really young. And apparently, like I said, just a really good human being and a guy who had a lot of influence on a lot of people that he coached. And at the end of the day, that's all you can do, right, is have influence on the people around you. Try to live a good life and leave a lasting impression and a lasting mark and give some of yourself to the people that are younger than you and give some of yourself to the people that are around you And it seems in those metrics, Coach Brown did more than you could ask. Yeah, just very sad. Very, very sad. And a guy who's really been around football his whole life. And again, someone who's probably impacted more people than he ever realized, having coached for a long time. You know, and a lot of those people, I think, will take those lessons that he gave them and go from there. And it's also just kind of a stark reminder to everybody. You know, we all at times probably take some things for granted. You know, the people around you, the people in your circle, you know, make sure you're appreciative of that and do the best we can do to be grateful for the days that we have, because it's numbered for everybody. And eventually everyone's number comes up. So, yeah, unfortunately, like I said, a really somber news, a tough way to start the show. And there's no good transition from here, nor should there be. This news stinks and nobody wanted it. We do have some football items coming up that we really do want to talk about, you know, I'm excited to talk about, but again, there's no good transition from this news to that. So coming up, we are going to talk about the Wisconsin official recruiting channel announced some preferred walk-ons coming into this 2022 class. They'd already signed, but they're officially announced, and some guys that I'm really excited about, some guys that I think are absolute steals as walk-ons. So I do want to get into that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some of the walk-ons on this year's team that are going to make a mark in the win and loss column, and just get into that Wisconsin walk-on pipeline a little bit. All that's coming up later on the show. First, we want to talk about our first sponsor today. That is Built Bar. As always, Built Bar is one of our favorite sponsors of the show. It is instrumental, I would call it, in my nutritional fitness success. It's something you can throw in your backpack. It's 100% chocolate. It has, you know, 17, 18, 20 grams of protein, very low sugar, and it's something that comes in a variety of flavors. What I've done and my go-to is I buy the variety pack. It comes with a bunch of different flavors, and you can just tear through them. And frankly, I haven't found a flavor I don't like. There's favorites I have. I like the banana cream pie. I love the coconut. I like cookies and cream. But there's also almond flavor. There's mint brownie. There's a cinnamony churro type flavor. So whatever you're looking for, they've got you covered. And they found a way to make these incredibly nutritional bars healthy, which is astounding to me, because you can't find that anywhere else. And I'm not going to drop any names, but we know the names of the other health bars and protein bars out there that taste like you're eating cardboard. That's not Built Bar. You want something that you feel good about eating, your body enjoys, and you actually enjoy the process of consuming it. That is Built Bar. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15, and you get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order at built.com. All right, let's jump into this next segment. And again, there is no good transition coming from the Gary Brown news into this. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm trivializing it or not giving it the weight it deserves. It absolutely stinks. But we are going to move on with the rest of our show. So the Wisconsin official recruiting Twitter account, recruiting football Twitter account, They released kind of some of the preferred walk-ons for this class just over the last couple of days. They officially announced it. They have a really nice graphic up there that, you know, is kind of these players in a video game type intro. And I got to be honest, guys, I love this walk-on class. This walk-on class is really good. And there's going to be a player or two that come out of this that are going to be winning players for the Wisconsin football team. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I want to get into a couple of the names that in particular I really like, people that I think we need to keep an eye out. Not this year, obviously, but excuse me, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, I think there's a couple players here that are going to be, if not starters, big time contributors. The first guy I want to talk about is Devin Megley out of DeForest High School. And when you watch him on film, and again, if you guys want to, you can go, if you Google any of these people and just Google their huddle film, which is HUDL. You can see some highlight packages that these kids have. It's a lot of fun just to see the players coming in. And Devin Magley's a guy. He's coming in as a safety. He's kind of got a nice build to him. He's tall enough. He plays corner in high school. And the ball skills are awesome with this kid. He is a read and anticipate player. Excellent awareness. A ton of interceptions. And when he gets it, he's housing these things. And one of the things that really sticks out to me as a corner – as a corner, is he's able to see the routes develop in a way. You can watch it on film, and he baits the quarterback a couple times in the film. You can tell he is sitting on that route, and he could blanket it. He could take it away right away, and the quarterback just went through it, but he gives it a beat. And then he almost baits that quarterback into it. There's a couple plays where he clearly does that. The ball skills are really impressive. Again, high pointing the football, going up, taking it away from the receiver, being in the right spot at the right time. I think all those skills, you know, really translate into safety. You know, it's that awareness. It's the ball skills. It's the anticipation. It's being able to read quarterbacks. He does that a lot on his high school film as a cornerback. And even though he may not have the pure elite athleticism, you know, to play corner, to be on an island at the Big Ten level, at the Power Five level, I think a lot of those awareness skills, a lot of that anticipatory skill, the ability to make plays, to break on the ball, to read the quarterback and flow with the play as a defender, that all translates to safety perfectly. And if we're going to look at preferred walk-ons, because that's what we're talking about here, if we're going to look at PWOs that have a chance to maybe in a year or two, 3 years, make an impact, carve out a role, you got to kind of look at depth charts and where these players are slotting into, right? Safety is, I mean, we've talked about it. Safety is a shallow position. There's not a lot of young depth there. And now you have this guy, Devin Magley, coming in as a walk-on with some ball skills, as a walk-on with enough size and I think enough athleticism into a position where there's not a lot of depth. I think there's something there. I really like this pickup. I think he's a guy that he may lack the top gear, right? I don't think he's a Natrell Jamerson, a Desmond Southward, who's on the back end running a 4-3-5. But again, there's very few of those dudes anyway. But I think he's probably a 4-5 guy, you know, somewhere in that range, especially when he gets into the program. You know, he gets some strength and conditioning a couple years down the road. That one shocked me. And with his ability to read a play, to make a play on the ball, I like this pickup a lot. Devin Magley, I think, is a guy I would keep my eye on from a preferred walk-on standpoint. Okay, let's get into our next guy. And this is where I want to kind of talk about the prototype. When you think Wisconsin walk-on, what are we thinking? Usually it's a guy from Wisconsin, like within the state. Excuse me. Within the state, a guy that is a little overlooked, usually at a smaller school, maybe playing a bunch of different positions, like, right, he's a quarterback, but he really isn't going to be a quarterback at the college level. That's kind of the Wisconsin walk-on. That's the mold, right? Well, this guy breaks those molds, and it's part of the reason I want to talk to him. It's part of the reason I'm interested in him. Gabe Kirschke. So Kirschke is out of Colorado. He goes to a school called Lone Tree is the name of the school he's from. And he's just kind of this long-limbed, 6'6"-ish defensive end out of Colorado, which that fascinates me from the beginning, right? Where that journey begins, where a kid from Colorado picks up a Wisconsin preferred walk-on offer and ends up walking on. So that's interesting to me from the beginning. Sorry, my throat's a little dry. But he's also got a really interesting frame on him. As I take a drink, because my throat's a little dry. So he's like a 6'6 guy, long arms, really, really kind of long arms. He's got to fill out a lot. Okay. He's going to have to fill out a lot. But if you watch the film, the motor seems to be there. There's a couple plays where he's chasing people down from behind. And again, it's kind of in our 3-4, that strong side defensive end. If you can get a dude who's kind of like an Isaiah Loudermilk, who's that longer, tall guy who can break up passes, get into the passing lane, set the edge, I think that's probably definitely what they're looking for with Gabe. And if he gets there or not, I don't know. He's going to have to put on a lot of weight. And how people react to that, you never really know. This is a good guy that you kind of bring into the program, stash him in the corner, like put him deep down in a closed off room and let him emerge in 2 years and see what you have. But he has the frame, he has the length, and it looks like he has the motor. So I'm really interested in that aspect of it. And I'm also really interested in the aspect. I don't know how he got from Colorado to here. And I want to dig into that and I want to find that answer. But it's a really interesting prospect for me for those reasons. It's also a depth chart thing, right? You look at some of the young defensive ends on the roster, some of the guys like Mike Jarvis, Tristan Monday, you know, guys that are a little shorter, a little stockier, more of that Chikwe Obase mold. This is a different type of cat. So he's another guy who might fill a positional need just being that longer, taller defensive end. other guy I want to bring up, and this is my favorite preferred walk-on from this class, Luna Larson. Luna Larson is so much fun to watch on film. In-state kid coming out of Baraboo, so much fun to watch on film. Go, if you're going to Google any of these dudes, Google Luna Larson Huddle. And he is just a wrecking ball. There's two guys in this preferred walk-on class I'm planting my flag on saying these should be scholarship guys. And the fact that we're getting them as walk-ons are pure steals. This is one of them. Luna Larson should be a scholarship dude, and I think most years he would be. He is well built, fast, athletic, strong. He plays quarterback for Baraboo, and the film there is he's just a man amongst boys at times. You know, zone read, quarterback draw, bouncing off people, running through tackles, taking house calls. He is just a load. And then when you flip the film, right, because he's obviously not coming into Wisconsin as a quarterback. He's coming as a linebacker. When you flip the film, you see the same type of stuff on film that you saw this year from Leo Chanel. Not the same physicality. I want to be very clear. He is not Leo Chanel. Nobody's Leo Chanel. But if you remember the Army game with Leo Chanel, where Leo was getting up in the A-gap and just blowing up plays in the backfield, that's a lot of the high school film for Luna Larson. Right in the A-gap, blasting off, coming straight downhill, getting off blockers, blowing up plays in the backfield. He is just a missile coming into the backfield, blowing up sweeps, off tackles, hitting the quarterback. He's a wrecking ball, and he's athletic enough. He's big enough to play at the Big Ten level. I don't know why this guy's not a scholarship player. I know he had some offers and an ability to go a few other places. This is an absolute steal. I love Luna Larson coming into this class as a walk-on. I think he's another guy in a couple years. You could very well be seeing one of the future inside starting linebackers at Wisconsin with Luna Larson. A couple other guys I just want to mention quickly. You know, Wisconsin's bringing in a quarterback in this class as a walk-on, Marshall Howe. Marshall Howe comes out of Old Avon Farms in Connecticut, another kind of outside the box location for Wisconsin. It's actually in my neck of the woods. I live out in Connecticut currently. Marshall Howe is kind of a 6'1", 190-ish pound guy. Think of like a Miles Burkett type frame, you know, maybe a Scott Tolzien-ish type frame. Not huge athletic skill. Like he's not super fast. He doesn't have a big time cannon of an arm, but good touch, shows the ability to throw the ball downfield, enough size. I mean, he's got enough of everything. And if you look at, you know, a guy like Scott Tolzien, Tolzien did have incredible physical skills. Now, I'm not saying this, you know, Marshall Howe is going to be the answer at quarterback, but here's what I will say. And I really believe this. You know, Bill Walsh used to say something similar to what I'm about to say. Bill Walsh used to have a philosophy of almost draft a quarterback every year, right? Just throw names at the position. And that's what I'm saying. With our quarterback group, our quarterback room, right? We talked about it a lot with Graham Mertz, you know, needing to progress, needing to get better with no established backup. You know, nobody has really pushed Mertz. You should just throw bodies at it. Get a walk-on or two every year that has some type of potential and see what happens, because you never know with quarterbacks. You never, never know. 4- and 5-star kids flame out all the time. You know, and Division II dudes who had no offers become top 5 NFL picks all the time. So if you can bring in a dude like Marshall Howe, who has some ability, he has enough size, do it. This is a perfect use of a walk-on to me. So I love bringing in another quarterback to throw into the room. I'm going to try to get a chance to talk to him if I can. I kind of live out in this area, so I'm going to see if I can get him on the show. But no matter what, I really like the idea of adding numbers to the quarterback room. A couple other guys coming in. Charlie Jarvis is a defensive back, more of a safety out of Catholic Memorial in Heartland, Wisconsin. Cam Fain. We talked about Cam Fain two or three shows ago. I love Cam Fain. I told you guys there's two guys in this walk-on class I'm planting my flag in. One of them is Luna Larson. The other one's Cam Fain. Cam Fain, I love this as a walk-on, as the receiver. He's a 6'2 guy, 6'1", 6'2 guy. A lot of athleticism, man amongst boys type player. I think he is just as good, and I think he's just as capable of becoming a starter down the road as any of the other receivers we brought in on this class. So I'm a big Cam Fain guy. We're also bringing in Travis Allen out of Randolph, Wisconsin. He's a kind of 6'5", 6'6 tight end, a good frame, maybe a potential receiving target down the road. But yeah, that's the walk-on group that's really coming in. Remember, again, the three or four guys I really want you to remember and that I'm really excited about is Devin Magley, the high school cornerback coming in. He's going to play safety. Really good ball skills. It's Gabe Kirschke, the 6'6 defensive end out of Colorado who needs some weight on his frame, but I think there's some potential there down the road. There's Luna Larson, who I love, the inside linebacker out of Baraboo, who is just a wrecking ball out there. And then there's Cam Fain, the receiver coming out of Edgewood, Madison Edgewood. And I think there's a lot of athletic skills with Cam Fain. So really, really good preferred walk-on class. I don't think they're all this good. I like this one a lot, and I think contributors are going to come out of it. Coming up next, guys, we're going to get into this year's football team and continuing the trend of walk-ons. Let's take a look at the former walk-ons that are primed to play a big role for this year's success and really get into a little bit why that walk-on program is such a unique asset to Wisconsin. All right, guys. Let's talk about this year's walk-on class. This year's walk-on group that's going to play an instrumental role to the success of this year's football team. Right? We talked about the guys coming in. Not all of them make it, just like scholarship players. Not all scholarship players work out either. It's really not that different. But there's a couple guys that came in previously as walk-ons that this year are going to carve out big roles. And a large part of how this year's Wisconsin football team does is going to be dependent on these guys, former walk-ons. Right? Let's start in the secondary. John Torchio. Torchio is a guy, another really interesting guy. We talked about in a previous segment a couple players, Kirschke coming out of Colorado, Marshall Howell coming out of Connecticut. You know, John Torchio is another walk-on really outside our traditional walk-on, even recruiting landscape, right? He's from California. He's a 2018 kid. You know, and last year, and Torchio, by the way, also had legit scholarship offers. He had a Cal offer coming out of high school, and he chose to walk on at Wisconsin. And this year, he's probably going to be a starter. I mean, you're probably looking, especially with the Travion Blaylock injury at safety, and we haven't had an update there. We need to get an update on Blaylock. But between Blaylock, Torchio, and Hunter Wohler, two out of those three guys is probably starting, and it's very likely Torchio is going to be one of them. So, again, just to get that type of production out of former walk-ons, it's enormous for the program. It's such a boon, and it's such a little untapped avenue of talent that other schools don't have. Wisconsin's very unique in this and how they do it and the type of success and productivity they get out of it. So let's get into Torchio for a second. Torchio is kind of a 6'2"-ish guy, started to carve out a role really last year and really played well. If you look at PFF, and a lot of people don't love PFF, they try to grade every play, you know, every player, every play for the entirety of the college football season. And that's never going to be perfectly accurate, but it gives you a snapshot, right? It's a data point to go off of. And PFF was really high on Torchio last year. You know, Pro Football Focus had Torchio as our best cover player on the entire team. His coverage grade was the best on the team. It was sixth as safeties in the country. You know, the sixth best safety coverage grade in the country. And am I buying that? No. John Torchio wasn't the sixth best safety in the country, right? We played a couple against him, like Kyle Hamilton and Notre Dame. We played some of the best safeties in the country. Torchio's not in that class, but I think he's definitely at least an adequate, competent starter at safety, and I think we'll see that this year. I think he's rangy. He comes up, he makes plays. He's definitely heady. He has a nose for the ball. He knows where he needs to be. He's been durable in his career, and he's probably a guy, like I said, that's going to start at safety. That's a huge win to get that out of a former walk-on. We'll talk a little bit more about staying in the secondary, staying on the route of secondary players, former walk-ons, Amon Williams. Now, Amon Williams isn't going to play a ton this year, the cornerback out of Milwaukee. He was a 2020 kid, right? Yeah, 2020 kid. Came out of Milwaukee, super undersized. Like, think Sojourn Shelton type of frame. I think he's 5'9", 170, so small. But we heard it last year. Amon Williams was chirping at players, making plays, always in the hip pocket of receivers, tight coverage, jamming him at the line of scrimmage, just a really feisty, pesky cornerback. And he definitely has that same type of swagger that a Sojourn Shelton had. And like I said, he's not going to play a ton this year, most likely. We brought in the three veteran transfer corners. We talked about that. And we have Alexander Smith, who's also probably locked in a spot. So that's four guys right there. But Amon Williams is right in that next group. And if you think about it, the young secondary, the young corners we have in this team, the Max Laffey's, the Samar Melvins, you know, the Al Ashford's, you know, those guys haven't carved out any significant role yet. So I think next year, Amon Williams is going to be right in that battle, you know, maybe not for a starting spot, but for maybe for a slot guy and another former walk-on providing invaluable depth. If you look at inside linebacker, Tatum Grass, right? Tatum Grass is a 2018 kid, in-state kid, and he started to get on the field last year, provided a ton of depth, you know, valuable special teams player. And now this year you lose Leo Chanel, you lose Jack Sanborn, that middle's wide open. And a lot of people assumed this is going to be Jacob Turner, the athletic inside linebacker that really flashed at the end of last year. It's going to be Maima Najameta, you know, a guy who had a lot of hype coming in. But what have we seen in the spring? We've seen Tatum Grass running with the ones. That's a big deal. And again, this could be another former walk-on that's starting for one of the best defenses in the country. At the very least, he's in the 2D, right? He's going to be one of your rotational depth players at an incredibly important position in this defense. So yeah, that's another guy. And again, we keep talking about this, other programs don't get this type of production out of walk-ons. It is a huge part of the Badgers' success on a football field. And I don't think people outside the footprint of Wisconsin really take that into account when they analyze this team and the success it's had and the reasons why. Let's jump over to the offensive side, right? So you have Jack Eschenbach, you know, former tight end, or former walk-on playing tight end. And this is a guy where the tight end position in recent years has really been ravaged with injuries. We've talked about that. Tons of guys that are hurt. Eschenbach is a guy with a bigger frame. He's a guy that's more that receiving threat, and he's a guy the coaching staff has been trying to find roles for a while. And again, it's he provides something that guys like Hayden Rucci, you know, some of the bigger frame tight ends don't as much. He's more that Jalen Franklin type that can get down the seam, can create some opportunities in the passing game, you know, and I think the coaching staff is trying to find that role for him continually. Another former walk-on. Let's talk about Brady Shipper, right? Brady Shipper has carved out a role in this backfield for no other reason than he's one of the dudes that's been able to stay healthy, right? You look at Ches Malusi, Braylon Allen, Isaac Arendo, Julius Davis, all of these cats. And it stinks, but all of them have had injury problems. And Brady Shipper has been able to kind of stay healthy and carve out a little bit of a role as maybe the third down guy, maybe taking over for that mantle that Garrett Groshek had, also a former walk-on. You know, last year he had 28 carries, 7 catches, 70 yards, has good hands out of the backfield, and definitely someone the coaching staff, again, really trusted. Another former walk-on and another guy who's going to probably play a pretty big role in this season's success. You know, that's the thing, guys. Barry Alvarez used to talk about the walk-ons as erasers, right? People, players that can come in and erase recruiting mistakes. You know, you miss on a safety, but you have John Torchio, right? You miss on a running back, or a running back gets dismissed, which happened to us, but you have Brady Shipper, right? An offensive lineman falls through the cracks, but you have Josh Seltzner from last year, who was a former walk-on. You know, all these guys fill in these recruiting gaps. And I think I touched on it earlier. I think what people miss when they're looking at this program from a national standpoint, right? Wisconsin has been as consistent as just about any program in the country. The ceiling hasn't been as high. We know that. But consistently turning out good to really good teams, very few programs are in Wisconsin's class. And a huge part of that, guys, and a huge part of what I don't think national analysts get is the walk-on program. Every single year, you are taking 8, 9, 10 quality football players, and you're throwing them into the program, and 2 or 3 of those always end up contributing. It's over the course of 3, 4, 5 years, it's another 10, 12 contributing players that you don't have to pay a scholarship for initially. You get them in the door, they work hard, and you kind of take the ones that work out and you move forward and you just rinse and repeat. And now that culture is there, right? Now that environment is there, the program sells the walk-on tradition to other future walk-ons, and it just perpetuates itself. It's something that Wisconsin doesn't get enough credit for. And it's part of the hidden sauce that makes this program so successful, right? Some of the best players, some of the most skilled players that come out of Wisconsin the last 20 years have been walk-ons. They started as walk-ons and they become NFL dudes, right? And some of that is player development. A lot of that is the hidden fact. And again, I say hidden, I know Wisconsin fans typically know this, but hidden from a national standpoint, that Wisconsin is the only school in a big state that really loves football. And players want to stay there, right? It's also a school like Iowa. Iowa's a great example. Iowa does not churn out as many Division I prospects as Wisconsin. And Iowa has to share the state with Iowa State, right? That's a tough sell. There's a lot more competition in state. You know, Wisconsin doesn't even have a really strong Division II program. So all these players that could be fringe, you know, going to another school in state or go to a fringy D2 school, you know, they can go to Wisconsin and walk on because they know that the walk-on success there gives them an avenue to eventually play at Wisconsin, play at a big-time program, and stay home. It has just been an incredible, incredible key to Wisconsin's success. And every year, you know, especially again this year, I love the walk-on group coming in. And I'd be stunned if none of those guys became key contributors down the road. And it's just a bit of a hidden sauce that I think is, A, incredibly interesting, and B, not talked about enough nationally. I think the people in state know it. I think the coaching staff does an incredible job of continuing that tradition, but I think it is something that gets a little lost in the sauce, which is fine by me, by the way, because that means Wisconsin can continue doing it, continue taking those underrated kids and really turning them into future NFL studs. So yeah, guys, again, today's show was a little somber to start with. I hope you guys enjoyed it. At the end of the day, it all kind of comes back to the fact that we do wish all the best for Gary Brown and his family, his kids, his wife, all the people that connected to him, you know, his friends, definitely somebody who wasn't in Madison for a long time, but you could see from the outpouring of players on the team, he absolutely made a tangible impact. So really somber news and no good transition from that, but definitely wanted to express our thoughts on it. Really appreciate everyone for listening and watching wherever you got us. If you got us on YouTube, on a podcast, thanks again for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. If you want to reach out to the show, it's lockedonbadgers@gmail.com and on Twitter @LockedOnBadgers. As always, thank you guys again. Continue tuning in to the Locked On Badgers show. We have some really interesting interviews this week. You're not going to want to miss it. A draft analytics guy that's going to get into Leo Chanel. And we have a BTN interview coming up to really kind of dive into some of the great Wisconsin teams and a little deeper into Johnny Davis heading into draft season. After you get done listening to us, guys, make Locked On Draft your second listen of the day. Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college prospects and NFL front offices. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, guys.